When I was putting all this together, I was thinking that back in the 80s, Barry Smith was telling us all that I'm going to talk about. And I believed it, and he taught us a lot, and other people did, like Reverend Hutchins in America. And we thought, gosh, these are exciting times. But we always thought of it as far away in the future, really, although we knew that it was relatively soon. It would be in the time when the people that were alive when Israel was reborn as a nation, and that was the generation that would see these things. But somehow it didn't seem quite real. You know, it was something that was going to happen in the comfortable future. Well, that comfortable future is a little less comfortable now, because it's all here, it's happening. And prophecies on fast forward. And I think we are very much in the beginning of sorrows. And a whole load of things are going to happen quickly now. It's not going to be dragged out over a decade, in my opinion. And I got this off Sky News and at the start of the year, last year. And they said, these scientists, time is almost up. These are secular scientists, of course. And they're members of the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists. And they've got something called a doomsday clock. And they've been doing it for decades. And they now moved it to a couple of minutes to midnight. I would say it's more like 5 seconds to midnight, actually. But this was a year ago. And the birth pangs were all around for everyone with eyes to see. Convergence, all the prophetic signs are converging. When we wrote the book Goodbye America, Goodbye Britain, that Pat and I put out in 2006, we could see then that today was the time, like no other time in history, when all the things that are prophesied could actually happen, like everybody in the world being connected. Couldn't have happened until now. And these are a big indicator that we're on the threshold of our Lord's return. We live in interesting times. Things are getting very interesting. You know, it's an old Chinese curse, I'm afraid. May you live in interesting times. Well, they didn't know, but interesting times are good news right now, because they will lead up to our Lord coming back. They're changing so fast out there that it's hard to keep up. It's exciting to be here, seeing the prophecies coming together. But never forget, before we fear and worry and lose sleep, that God is in control. We've got eternal answers, and the only thing in life that really matters is who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. For a wide door for effective service is open to me, and there are many adversaries, from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, and nothing's changed since Paul wrote that. The Bible, one of the things that I liked as an editor, I liked precision, I liked facts, I didn't like myths and fancies. And that's why I like the Bible, really, because there's nothing vague about it. It's precise about what's to come. The Bible predicts many specific signs that will culminate in the last days. None of them are vague. Our Lord said the signs would rise concurrently, gaining momentum, getting quicker, like birth pangs, as his return draws near. This generation's the first to see every trend in place. Remember, again, the Lord is in control. It seems like the world's out of control, but the Lord still is in control. It's under his permissive will that everything is happening. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, the demons who stir up trouble, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 38. Bible prophecy has never been more important and probably never been more neglected. Bible prophecy is one of the most ignored topics in what passes for the churches out there today, most of them. There are wonderful exceptions. This is a little lighthouse. Tony Pierce runs another. There are very few that I can think of, actually, or know of. Preachers and leaders who don't really want to talk about it because they don't understand it themselves say it's too controversial or too difficult to understand. That's a load of nonsense. You have to try harder, and the Lord will show you very easily how to understand it. But many people spiritualize it or say it's all been fulfilled. Prophecy's been fulfilled, really? Didn't notice Antichrist ruling the world and no one being able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast, but apparently it's all been fulfilled. That's what the mainline churches say, most of them, 99.9%, I would say. So around 28% of the Bible is on the shelf. That's the prophetic part. And most Christians have no concept of the Lord's soon return. It would give a sense of urgency if they did, because prophetic signs are in the daily news. I got off a business program I watch every day this week. There was red, and then it was green, and then it was red. Everything's up and down. Red is a danger signal. More red for danger to the whole economy and people's livelihoods. Everything is being destroyed in preparation for what's going to be rebuilt. The new world order. Man's new world order, not God's. Won't last long. Worldwide, trillions of dollars worth of assorted currencies are being created of thin air. How wonderful. We just sit around and get money and pay for things and food miraculously appears. It's not as easy as that. The problem is not solved, I'm afraid. It's getting bigger and man can't control it. They've got no idea what to do around the world. One country after another panics and they all panic. It's like a bunch of clowns leading the world, actually. And here is Humpty Dumpty and the Global Economic Summit, and they're all about to crash over the wall. They say, well, I think we've demonstrated we're on top of the situation, about as much as you'd be if you were tossed from an airline into the Atlantic. You're not on top of it at all. It's a problem too big for men to solve. Humpty's going to fall and crash. It's going to happen soon too, by the way, because I believe, and I've been saying this for about 25 years, we're heading towards the Greater Depression. And I've worked it out from just finance and money, because if you keep creating endless debt that cannot possibly be repaid, sooner or later the fairy story stops, doesn't it? And every person in the world, if you actually average out all the debt that's been borrowed by people, companies and countries, everyone owes $32,500, every single person, including the babies, geriatrics, and people who don't work or don't even read or write. So start stumping up, do your share. My joke is, Pat watches, it drives me crazy, but she's right to watch it and see what's going on. We're seeing all these programs, and I talked about this once before, about ancient aliens. Because you see, the powers that be, who are very secular and atheist in the most part, I believe, and they can't conceive that somehow or other there's a God who's in charge, who created everything. So there must have been something else, because the more we look at creatures from ever better microscopes, we can see that they're very, very complicated. The tiniest cell is infinitely complicated. It shows design. Everything you look at shows design. It's like expecting an explosion in a scrapyard to make an aircraft. Doesn't happen, can't happen. So therefore, someone more intelligent than us must have created it all, you see. Well, it can't be God, because there isn't one, so it must be the ancient aliens. My first response to that is, well, who then made the ancient aliens? But they wouldn't be able to answer that. So the UN, I mean, wonderful, wonderful candidate for being shut down, in my opinion. That's the only thing wonderful about it. They have an office, I'm not making this up, for outer space affairs. They say, contact us. You can write them a letter, send them an email. The United Nations Office for Outer Space Affairs. It's in Vienna. No doubt there's hordes of civil servants wasting their time there. There's their phone. Send us a message, they say. Well, I don't know where they want the message to come from, out of space, I suppose. They need help. We need help. Ah, here it comes. Greetings, Earthling. Take me to your ambassador. The EU's got a similar department, by the way. I'm not making this up. This is how your tax money is spent, by the way. And meanwhile, the world is getting weirder. Even the Vatican. As the world crashes into chaos, are the churches preaching about what's happening? Are they calling on people to repent? No, the Vatican showed its relevance, which is zero in my opinion. This is how they had a nativity just outside the Vatican. It seems to have been inspired by Darth Vader, weird sort of creatures and space beings and things. And this is outside the Vatican. And this is what I believe a true Christian wrote about this. He said, his name was actually Michelangelo, believe it or not. What in the name of sane Christianity have they created in the piazza in the Vatican? Words are inadequate for this horrific creation, which must have come from the planet Zog. I think that's where the Pope comes from, actually. We're in difficult times, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come, and it's been here a long time, when they will not endure sound doctrine. but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Myths are comforting and cozy and don't require anyone to do anything. Oh, it's wonderful. The aliens are coming and saving us. Really? You believe that, do you? Best of British. I actually lived and worked for a group of people who were New Age many years ago when I was a young man. And they were planning the New Age Messiah, even then, in the 60s. And they knew prophecy more than most Christians do, by the way. But they believed a lot of myths. The lady I lodged with thought she was in touch with the Newsians. She was certainly in touch with something. And the church, of course, wants ever more relevance. So this is how they did it. And I thought this was worth showing you again. I showed it to you once before. They put up helter skelters and they have mini golf courses inside the cathedrals. And Sky said, what should our church buildings be doing? Well, this is obviously entertainment. And here is the Dean of Norwich making a fool of himself, not for the first time, I'm sure. This is what he said. At the top, you get the most amazing view of our fabulous cathedral. And they're talking about the building, nothing that goes in it. It's this wonderful building that you worship, you see. Wonderful stained glass, I can see. And you are closer to the roof bosses. I had no idea what they are, really. But than probably anyone has been since they were made. So they're marvelling at the building. They go there to, oh, it's a wonderful building. Oh, really? It's what goes inside. This is the church. You are the church. It's not this rough old building. And it isn't his building either, however grand it is. The end times world is being constructed before our eyes. The Antichrist system doesn't appear overnight. It's been planned since Satan deceived Eve in the garden. Today, it's aided by bad or absent preaching in most churches, I'm afraid. Where are the dire warnings against ungodliness in our schools and society? Where are the teachings that transgenderism is a myth and evil, as is all sexual perversion? The deception the Lord won't... Well, by the way, the Pope approves of same-sex marriage, and Joe Biden performed a same-sex marriage ceremony when he was vice president before, so that's what's coming to America. Woe to America. The deception the Lord warned about in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5, wastes the time of believers and prevents the lost getting saved. No doubt the Church of England has a nice cup of tea at the end of their 15-minute bless up, you know. But that's what they do. We used to actually live opposite the exit from a church in Fleet, St. Philip and St. James. And they used to go there and they were in and out in about 35 or 40 minutes. And about half that time was taken up with a cup of tea. You know, I mean, it must have been a deep teaching, mustn't it? Anyway, this is what another church did. Peterborough Cathedral in last August. They called it Awe and Wonder Creative Yoga. Yoga is sinister, evil and supernatural, by the way. And that's why all the church halls have it, you know. Supernatural, it's the nearest they get to supernatural, I think. So they said, settle down under the turning earth, mother, you see, to experience this imaginative and meditative yoga session. That was on the church website. This is what they're promoting. They should be shut down and turned into something useful. I won't even go there. Suggestions on a postcard. Churches bring the world into the church instead of taking the word into the world. The PC church, politically correct, is not our Lord's church. Matthew 15, verses 7 to 9. I love this. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Oh, I was baptised as a baby. Oh, really? So what? Means nothing. That's not scriptural. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. They teach that evil is good and good is evil. The Bible says there will be a time when good would be called evil and evil good. Isaiah 5 verse 20. We're there. We pretend to care about children, but murder tens of millions of them. People would care more about saving puppies than they would unborn babies, and I believe that to be a true statement. You get more money raised for animal charities than you do for child charities, a lot more. Not that I mean, I like animals too. I like puppies and things, but I don't value them above children. There is no longer any official right or wrong. We mustn't be judgmental, although the word tells us clearly that we should be. God's word, though, tells us this is the end time society that he's coming into. It means he is coming soon. This is what Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, wrote. A time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. There they are. They're out there. We're living on borrowed time. This apostate church is part of the end time society. Do we recognize it? Oh, yes. Just look out the door. Look at the little Buddha in the garden across the road. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self and lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. They think they're good people, you see. They once put a couple of quid in a collection box somewhere. So this is very comprehensive. It's wonderfully put, I think. 2 Timothy. Myths are being accepted as facts. See this on TV on about two or three programs every night, by the way. Was God an astronaut? No, wrong. What Lou Dobbs, who I do respect, he said on CNN, they are creating a brave new world in which the will of the people is irrelevant. We're being brainwashed better than Goebbels could have done it, I think. The fast-forming new world order will keep a tight grip on people. It already has, showing how they can actually subdue and calm us and keep us under lock and key practically with just a few words from some professor. It's astounding to me how we've all succumbed to this nonsense. It's to be a total nonsense, by the way. Lockdowns achieve absolutely nothing, nothing whatsoever. And 20 countries around the world were surveyed, and the end result, it doesn't make the slightest difference. So we're locked down for no reason. But maybe it's all part of the New World Order scheme. Shut down all small business and turn people to big corporations that are controlled by just a few people. Because something called the Great Reset of the World is being planned in a week or two, actually, at Davos, Switzerland. It won't all happen immediately. It'll be rolled out as they can do it. This is what the organisers say. There's an urgent need for global stakeholders, always beware when you see a phrase like that, to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the world, the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. They plan to actually take all cash out of existence, and they plan to replace it with electronic-only trading. Bill Gates is behind a great deal of this, by the way. I just found this today. An implantable digital ID vaccination system is in development. Microsoft is spearheading an initiative called ID 2020. They're a bit behind, aren't they? A program aimed at giving every human on the planet a digital ID, like a fingerprint, in order to keep everyone connected. I saw Bill Gates talking about this. The ID 2020 initiative is an alliance set up by Bill Gates aimed at, quotes, getting digital IDs right in order to make it accessible to everyone. The idea is digital ID that can be implanted into someone in chip form. He said it'll help homeless people or people in developing countries by giving them access to blockchain-powered identification. The practice would have people receiving free vaccines from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They're sending vaccines all around the world so that everybody gets one, if they have an ID chip implant. In turn, these implants, they would actually be given free, and it would give you access to services you can't normally get without ID. And it would also help social workers and researchers keep up to date with who is to date on their vaccination. They suggest paper money must be removed because it's a virus spreader. That's probably not true either. So suddenly we're in a cashless society in which the globalists have been demanding for years. Everything goes digital and local economies are wiped out as private trade dies. They've more or less achieved that. Look at the empty high streets and things. So this is all planned. And men think they're going to save the world, but they're wrong. They're going to create a disaster for everybody. And then the Lord will have to step in. Bill Gates plans this digital ID, yes. Paper will go. The Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13, had it all 2,000 years ago, verses 70 to 18. He provides that no one, this is Antichrist, will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, his number is 666. And of course, he causes all, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, and the free man and their slave, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. There's a price to pay for that. By the way, I think I told you in a previous talk that Microsoft have now put out a patent, and it's labelled 060606, by the way. It's for actually monitoring brain waves, believe it or not. So they've got a patent on it. But there's a price to pay for all of this. It'll make life easier in the world for a while for those who take it, for a little while, but a horrible price will be paid. They get sores and all kinds of ailments before they die and go to a permanent place in hell. Revelation 14:9, doom for worshippers of the beast. Another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, we've had warnings, it's out there, and most people's homes still probably have a Bible. If they read Revelation, and there's a special blessing, it's the only book in the Bible that there's a special blessing for anyone who reads it and understands it. If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. He will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is forever and ever and ever. It's everlasting. The smoke of their torment goes up forever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast in his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name, because they're storing up for themselves the wrath of God. Romans 2:5, a horrible thing, because those today who are all the smart alecks and naysayers and atheists, they're going to learn the hard way, but there's no turning back. One minute after your death, you've lost your chance, I'm afraid. Should Christians be afraid of this? Because we can be fearful if we think about all this. Oh, are we going to be able to buy or sell? Well, I think at the moment we're okay, because we're not at that stage where it's going to have to happen midway through the tribulation. We're not in the tribulation yet. So we shouldn't fear the mark of the beast. There's a lot of talk now about the vaccines, etc., and the digital ID. But that's just one candidate. The short and biblical answer is no, this is not yet the mark of the beast. That's the patent I told you about, 060606. I had a Dickens of a job sending this out. I kept getting blocked when I tried to send it out, strangely enough. Never happened before. But it's a step on the road to world control. It's not the mark, but it's a sort of forerunner of it. I'm sure that all of this technology will be used when the time comes for Antichrist to clamp right down. Christians waiting for the rapture do not need to fear that ID 2020 or microchips, barcodes or vaccinations are the mark of the beast. We should relax and trust in God, as God comforts us in Deuteronomy 31 verse 6. This is a message for all of us. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Our Lord is in charge and his hand is on us. And nobody will take the mark by mistake. That's another myth going around. Accepting the mark of the beast is not something that will be lightly undertaken. Revelation 13 gives us enough information for a person to know when they've taken the mark. The Antichrist will have to be ruling the world. He's not at this time, so we're in no immediate danger. Secondly, the mark is the Antichrist's key to controlling the world economy, yet Christians are currently buying or selling. It's not that easy, but we can still do it. The mark will be clearly seen, be visible, on, not in, either the right hand or forehead, and is easily recognized as either the name or number of the beast. Also, since earthquakes and meteors aren't yet leveling the planet, rivers and oceans aren't turning red, the time is not right for the mark. We need to be aware of what's coming to the world, but it won't come to the true church. When it comes time to decide to accept the mark, people will know more clearly than was ever known which side they're choosing. They'll do it deliberately as a choice, God or Satan. The mark signifies allegiance to Satan. Nobody will be tricked into taking it. They will choose it. They've been prepped for it already. Is Antichrist alive now? Who will he be? Certainly he's alive now, I believe, and has been for some decades. He will be of Italian descent. In Daniel 9, verse 26, Antichrist is described as the princes to come, who is to come, and from the people who will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Both Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. Therefore, according to the book of Daniel, the Antichrist must be of Roman heritage. And it was definitely from Rome that they came, because the two division stage, Rome and Constantinople, began in 364 AD under Emperor Valentinian later. The state of the world, well, you could look out there and be depressed. A lot of people are depressed, and people going past me, I try and cheer up and say something happy, and they're glad to be greeted, because some of them are living on their own, don't speak to anyone all day. And one lady said, how are you? I said, we're fine, thank you. You know, how are you? She said, I'm alive. And I thought, that's about all you can say. It's a bit depressing, really. She was with her husband and a dog. They should have been reasonably content walking into the park, but they were not. They were depressed. It's depressing for the worldly, but not for believers. It shouldn't be. We look to the blessed hope. It's hard to actually get this into focus sometimes, because you look at the news and it is a bit depressing, but it shouldn't be, because it shows us our time here is short. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The four horsemen of the apocalypse will be riding out in the fairly near future, but not while we are here. We'll be out of it. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Satan is using people who are misguided and should know better to actually frighten some Christians of saying we're having to go through the tribulation or half of it. That's a load of nonsense. We are delivered from the wrath to come. That's the good news for believers. We won't have to experience the horror of the Antichrist. We're never told to watch for the Antichrist. Rather, we're told to look for Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, we're assured that we who are believers are waiting for Jesus to return to deliver us from the wrath to come. It's not to say we won't have troubles. There are plenty of troubles out there, but the ultimate wrath he's going to deliver us from. That's a promise, a promise from the Lord. He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ, those who have gone before, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the great prize. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 to 18. Don't despair. It's a good portion to read. It's good news. That's the good news. The Lord is coming back. The signs are all around us. The rapture of the church can happen anytime. The second coming can't occur until certain events have taken place on earth. Matthew 24, verses 29 to 30. These events are mainly the 7-year covenant between Israel and the Antichrist, broken midway through, the abomination of desolation when he goes into the temple, and basically the rest of the tribulation period. The rapture could be today. If you look around empty churches, sometimes you think, well, maybe it has. No. Then you all turned up. Nothing in Scripture needs to be fulfilled before this astounding event takes place. Nothing needs to be fulfilled. There's nothing we're waiting for but the rapture. The Creator of earth and the heavens is coming back for us, for his church. And the final word, saying it far better than I could say it, from Revelation 22, verse 7, behold, I am coming quickly, suddenly. Blessed is he who reads the words of the prophecy of this book. We know, we're forewarned, we're forearmed, and that's the end. And I'm glad that we are. Thank you.